This morning's first gospel reading is from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 27. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Thanks be to God. Our second reading this morning also comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 28 to 37. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up and quickly go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed and in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is not the first church I have served that had a cemetery adjoining the church property and part of the church property. A prior church had one that was historic, at least for Michigan, which meant that it went back to about 1820, 1830. Nothing like the one here. But it was also still an active cemetery. There had been a funeral for a non-member family. A few days later, I left the session meeting in the evening, and by the lights from the parking lot, saw a man standing by a grave at 9 p.m. I assumed it was the husband, and I went over to him. He had lost his wife tragically, he said, crying. He had no children in the area. He said, "She was my whole life. I don't know what to do with myself now." We talked a bit. He continued to show up almost daily at different times of day, staying for hours. I would, as I was able, go out and speak with him. He was going through grief. It was a testimony to the fact that death is hard to deal with, but it needs to be hard to deal with if we've loved the person. Sometimes we avoid thinking about the possibility, but grief and pain are parts of life we all will walk through if we haven't already. There's been a lot written about the stages of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Not everybody moves through them in the same way, but they are there. Some people can get stuck in depression or in bargaining or even in denial. And there are also waves of grief. You can work your way through the stages only to find that can come back and hit you again when you least expect it. That's normal. And we all experience that. Our reading today from John definitely highlights Jesus' power as the resurrection and the life. But if that was all that John had wanted to tell us about life and Jesus' relation to us and what we face in our life, he would have jumped right to the raising of Lazarus. Instead, as Jesus walks through the narrative, he allows us to see how to walk through times of loss. There's some cues for us. He heads to Mary and Martha's house where people have been gathering. It reminds us that dealing with grief should be a community event. Friends and family had gathered with Mary and Martha, come to be at their side. The weight of death is too heavy to support alone if it's possible for people to be with one another. And I'm sure many of you have experienced this. At times, family or family and friends have gathered after a loss, sharing love and memories. Martha is clearly going through the stages of grief. She starts with anger. She's been on a first-name basis with Jesus. He loved her family. She knew about his healing miracles. And she goes, "You didn't fix this." Well, it's okay to express that anger and bewilderment to one another. But Martha took it beyond just expressing her anger. She tempered her anger with faith. She didn't know what would happen, but she did have faith in who Jesus was and what he might yet do. She believed in the resurrection because Jesus, she accepted as the Son of God. And she looked beyond Jesus as a simple healer, naming him Lord and the Lord of resurrection and the life. There are only one or two places in all the Gospels where people say it that directly. Jesus is the power of the resurrection. She could admit that. It brought her some comfort. Although she was thinking of what would happen down the road in the resurrection of all the faithful. Mary, on the other hand, wasn't quite ready to temper her grief with faith. And she just meant, if you had been here, Lazarus would be alive. Why did you let this happen, Lord? Well, in dealing with her grief, there are things Jesus didn't do that we should make note of. He didn't say, "How dare you talk to me that way? I am the Lord of life and the resurrection. You can come back when you're under control." He didn't see a lack of faith. He saw her pain, saw the pain of those who were with her, and it moved him deeply. And we are told that he wept. Even earlier in the narrative, he had started to feel deeply when he saw the people gathering. And there was no need to speak at that time. He just joined and wept. People have come to me sometimes when, say, a parent or spouse of someone they know has passed away, and they want to know what to say. I said, tell them you're sorry. Give them a hug. But please, don't quote scripture at them. It's not the time. Don't tell them they don't need to feel pain now because God will fix it later in the resurrection. Don't tell them God needed another angel. There's nothing in the Bible that says people die because God needs angels. Acknowledge that the person is a person. and allow the tears to come just as Jesus did. There are doubters in life and doubters in death, and even after Jesus spoke with Mary and was taken to the tomb, people around them were saying, couldn't he have done something? Why didn't he fix it? There was still doubt, and we deal with that also. Faith and confidence don't always come right away. So Jesus comes to the tomb and he tells people to roll the stone away. Surely he could have done that also, but healing is a community event. And involving people makes a lot of sense. Jesus would do the real work, but even we can at times help roll away stones of doubt, stones of unexpressed grief, stones of deep pain for others. Lazarus came out and Jesus said, remove the cloths. And again, we see that healing can be a community event. Now, I was asked before this Sunday morning that why I would preach on grief on the day of an annual meeting when we're supposed to celebrate the church. It's a fair question. But I can tell you that as I reflect on my time here, it was clear that it started by helping a church move through grief. Departure of a pastor arouses sorrow in any church. Here, disagreement about pastoral personnel and who would serve the church moving ahead helped became an outlet for anger. And it added to the grief as a sense of being a caring community together was shaken. Then, just in time to take away the power of a community to help, we hit the COVID shutdown. And again, that sense of being able to mourn in community was weakened. Stages of grief can be seen in the history of this church. There's been denial. Church attendance had been declining steadily here since the year 2000. People kept quite a bit going, as much as possible, and some very quality things. And programs, though, that worked well were being repeated without asking what else might be going on in the world around us. Anger got redirected at a number of things. There was bargaining that went on. Why don't we lift the COVID restrictions, let people choose on their own whether or not to wear masks, let everyone take their chances. There was depression among some in the life of the church. It was a time of low energy. And then even as COVID began to be easing, the Piercies announced their retirement and departure, another loss. Grief should be a community event, and people here found ways to interact online until in-person events became possible. And that sense of a healing community began to grow again. And in the annual reports shared today and last year, we see how much activity has increased and how groups of people added to what the church was doing as a healing power of community took effect. The CAT survey and its findings were a community effort in moving ahead, and the congregational discussion of the results bore ideas in eight areas of the church's life because we did an open conversation in community. Food drives, food pantry bingo, the Christmas luncheon show how the church is in working together. Not just through grief, but working together in joy and in service. And the church has tempered its grief with faith, sometimes more, sometimes less. But the reports reveal that the Spirit is at work in finding and figuring out ways to do things. The Spirit was at work in finding Valerie as a replacement for the Pierceys. The Spirit has been at work, and with the pastor nominating committee, the Spirit has drawn people to us as new members and regular attendees. The Spirit is moving more visibly among us than 3 years ago, almost, when I came. And yes, there may be doubters in life and doubters in death, and there are still times we may look at what we feel is a slowness of recovery. We may have doubts or worry about what we don't have in the future, but keep the faith. Jesus understands and is still working in and through his church. Jesus does not abandon his church. We just need to look ahead to where he is leading more than we stay stuck in sorrow. So let's join in an affirmation that new life can begin in this life, and that Christ is calling us out of tombs into his future of renewed life now and the life eternal ahead of us. Amen.